This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Welcome to Jikoji Zen Center. This is a really kind of special and auspicious day today, December 8th. It's December 8th, right? And it's kind of doubly auspicious because many people here today were just in a week-long silent retreat with me. So if looking around the room, it feels like it's either people who have been here meditating with me all week or brand new faces. It's a nice, interesting mix of people. So great to have you. My name is Ocean. I'm one of the guiding teachers here at Jikoji Zen Center. And also, I'm deaf. I can't hear. I can speak, but I can't hear. So if at any point while I'm speaking you don't understand me, just give me a little sign, give me a little wave. I'll repeat myself, or I will have the interpreter. Yeah, so we had this Rohatsu session that just ended this morning and started on the evening of the first. It's a retreat to honor the Buddha's enlightenment. So we do as he did. We sit down. We sit in meditation. And I encourage each of you to come and find out about that, explore that. And there's many retreat opportunities here, and they're for you and for all of you. So if you're interested, find one of us and ask questions. Shoot a message on the website. Check out the information online. So I guess I should also say be gentle with some of us because some of us haven't been speaking for a week. We've been meditating pretty hard. So if there's somebody bumbling around, they're either brand new or they've been here forever. So please help us either way. But practicing together like this, it has a lot of power. And I'm sure some of you felt that, you know, this might have been your first time meditating with others. And I'm curious, what was that like? Was that different? How did that feel for you? So we say that we're going to practice. We'll practice this for the week. We're practicing together has a lot of power. What do we mean by practice? Practice what? Well, as we've been saying all week, we were practicing being enlightened. Because that's what the Buddha did. When he woke up, he said, I and the greater and all beings simultaneously achieve the way. So that's us. That's all of us. And we're it. We're enlightened. We just need a little bit more work. We just need to practice together to help realize it and express it together. We just need to uncover our Buddha nature. The founder of this temple, Kobun Chino Otagawa Roshi, he said the same thing, but he said it like this. When you meet one little being, It might be a mosquito. It might be a pine tree or a rock. To become a Buddha with each of them is your practice. Do you understand? You become a Buddha with each of them. So, a lot of us that came last week, we might have came here just like you did come today, and we had a lot of goals, a lot of ideas for our practice. I'm gonna go, I'm gonna get really Zen. I'm gonna figure out my life. I'm going to, put it all to bed. I'm gonna get it all done. Finally gonna figure it out. Okay. And then we come here for a week and we learn to let go of those goals first. Yeah. But what would it be like to arrive at this practice without any goals? What would it be like to listen without planning what we're going to say next or do next? What would it be like to sit meditation and to not be counting down in our heads? Was that about 20 minutes? He should be ringing that bell soon, shouldn't he? But that's what we do. We want to hold a little bit back. We do this quite often so that we don't have to confront what's arising in us, what's arising in the moment. Or we compare our experience or judge it, constantly trying to position ourselves, So what would happen if we took all of that away? Without those expectations, what are you left with? It's just now, just this moment. And maybe without those expectations, maybe you could meet this experience just how it is. So, how do you do that? By not resisting what's in this moment. That's what we practice here sometimes, We sit sesshin, we sit this retreat sometimes, and we look at how our meditation is going, and we think, okay, just 3 periods left, and then only 2 days left. And this is kind of constant bargaining. If I do this, then I can do tomorrow. We understand the need to completely let go, but we're always holding ourselves back. We're just a little bit afraid. And there was quite a few people that came, and it was their first session. It was their first time doing a silent Zen meditation retreat like this. And we're completely silent. And this session is really special because we don't even have any liturgy, any service really. So we just, everything is silent. It's just meditation. We do this one in December like this to honor the Buddha. Nothing extra, just sitting down. Just sitting down, stopping the scheming and the planning. Just a group of friends, just a little community of us coming together to practice, to be curious about what's here, to be curious about ourselves. And I feel like sometimes it's our job is just really just to come here and just get out of our own way. It's like all we're trying to do is get out of our own way. blocking ourselves in our own way all the time. This is the feeling I have sometimes. I just can't harmonize with myself the way I want to. Maybe that's okay. Last session, I had this visual of, like, you know, we line up our shoes and we hang up our little coat and we leave our water bottle at the door. And I just was thinking about, you know, taking off ocean shoes and taking off ocean's little hoodie and maybe just hanging ocean up for a while. And then I'll go in, you know? I just figured you can leave, you know, but you can leave that guy outside. You can leave him on the hook. You can leave her there. They'll be waiting for you when you leave, you know? Believe me. So that's what we say. We say, get out of our own way so that Zazen can sit Zazen. What would it be like if I said, I meditate, but really just letting meditation meditate? We just allow our body to find its still point, whatever that is. Sometimes our still point is moving a little bit, right? We find that still point and we just keep finding it. We just keep finding that balance and that return, and that return. And then we just trust. We're going to meet this moment wholeheartedly and we'll just trust whatever happens next. We let the silence kind of work on us instead of, oh, I need to be really silent and I need to do this because, you know, whatever. And just really allowing for silence throughout our experience. Then it's not about whether or not you broke the rules, or you had to sneak off and text somebody and then sneak back to your dorm. You know, it's not about that, right? You do not have to work on silence. You just have to allow the silence to work on you. And slowly, what do you see? That you can just, you feel your body and your heart and your mind just start to align more. Everything feels a little bit more balanced, a little bit more quiet. But it also feels a little bit more alive and sometimes grateful. And we don't force it, we allow it. And just don't block ourselves from ourselves. Right here, what now? What's going on right here in this room right now? This moment. To let the layers of ourself and the layers of our fear and the layers, all these walls of resistance just drop. And just let our body find this noble posture of the Buddha. Whatever that posture may be, right? This posture, this one. And slowly the ease comes. We don't look for it, we don't reach for it, we don't grab it. You just allow for it. It's like a flower. And just, it opens of itself. And what comes next, the wisdom, the joy, the peace, it all comes much more naturally to us. Like a flower that opens, it can't help but perfume. And so we sit down and we watch what arises and we release it and release it. There's nothing wrong with our thoughts. We're just not holding on to them like we used to. We're not judging them and turning them over and comparing them. Something we like to say is that thoughts are like clouds. Clouds in the sky. And if you think of each thought as being like a cloud, then sometimes our zazen, sometimes our meditation is very cloudy. There's a lot of weather. And sometimes it's very clear. But the more we practice like this, the more we realize how much we are identifying with the clouds rather than the clear open sky. Because our true nature is not the clouds, it's not the weather. Our true nature is much more like the sky, boundless in all directions, limitless. But still, limitless with cloudy days. But always big sky. Big sky's there. So it's in Zazen that we can directly meet ourselves in that moment. Just a radically simple practice to remove what's extra, what's not needed. And when something arises for us, we can just think, oh, it's a cloud. And it will by itself float away. And like we chanted this morning, the eye sees, the nose smells, all the senses are coming together and meeting with our mind. When our mind is like this and the thoughts are eyes, wave after wave, and we just don't get caught or pulled into the wave. We learn to dive deeper and dive under the waves. I'm from the East Coast. I watch you guys on the West Coast. You know how to do that too. You dive under the waves. Deeper, and there's still water under there. But underneath, it's just this steady, this calm. So it's like, where is this calm? You know, well, it's in us, right? It's always in us if it's there. So Dogen, the founder of our school of Zen back in the 13th century in Japan, was this amazing mystic who wrote incredibly well and poetically about this very difficult to describe states and natures and things that we work with. He also wrote something called the Fukan Zazengi, which is it's like a kind of fascicle, a little mini manual for how to meditate. It's just a few paragraphs. And it says, you should therefore cease from practice based on intellectual understanding, pursuing words and following after speech. Instead, learn the backward step that turns your light inwardly to illuminate yourself. Body and mind of themselves will drop away, and your original face will be manifest. So Dogen is saying, instead of trying to get it, instead of trying to get it, orga, any of the signs that also mean get. We should understand instead deeply to engage with ourselves and practice working with this heart, with this mind. We should learn what those backward steps are for us. What is that backward step? Our little sangha on the East Coast, we made a bunch of kits up for our unhoused friends in the neighborhood. Toe warmers, fresh socks, tampons, toothpaste, anything might be needed. You can check with your local county homeless services and say, what's needed? And go bring it there. Add it to your list. It's beautiful little acts that you can do like this. So we put together these little kits. And spontaneously, some people said, oh, can we write a note to put inside? Because after you take all this time to put together this Ziploc baggie, this little, plastic bag full of a bunch of bulk items that we ordered, on Amazon. I mean, it's like, but when you start doing it with all of a sudden this tenderness and care, thinking about somebody you know who's living outside, it just becomes this totally different thing. Anyway, so can we write letters to put inside? I said, yeah, let's do that. And so we all were drawing and coloring. Remember, listen, minister. Yeah, it was all drawing and coloring and all these. And it's just a spontaneous kind of thing. And I thought to myself, well, there's the backward step. I should probably be coloring or writing letters at least once a week. It feels good. It does good. Why am I not doing this? What is the backward step that illuminates you? There are these little moves you're going to do in your life. What are they? Discover them. You already know half of them. You just have to do them. This is illuminating ourselves. This is lighting ourselves up. It's a light, the light of awareness. It's our mind, too. This light that we are always talking about, because Colvin was so fond of talking about this light, it's just our Buddha nature, the light of our minds, our hearts that's without limit. That's also without judgment and with blame, without high or low. So we practice letting go, and we practice this understanding. But we find that when we release some of these things that do not illuminate us, when we release some of them, we feel a lot more energy is freed up in our lives. When we're not constantly pushing, pulling, judging, and worrying, all that energy is freed up that we can use towards creativity, connection, love, the things we keep saying we want more of. Best of all, this can all happen right here and now, because we're not preoccupied. We're not blocked. And when we're not blocked, we're not missing our lives, We're constantly in our heads worrying, thinking about replaying the story. Our life is going on while we're doing that. So we can learn to use our awareness and apply it to things so we can turn that light inward. And by turning that light inward to better understand our own selves and even our own consciousness, seeing our own patterns and habits, consciousness itself, what it's like to be a human, what it's like to be this human. We can stay with the very source of our awareness, and we can feel our mind come to rest. Once Kyozan asked his teacher, Isan, what is the true home of the Buddha? Isan said, think of the hazy mystery and your thoughts should return to the light. That light extends everywhere and forever, past and future. When thoughts run out, you have arrived. Arrived where? Arrived where your true nature is revealed. Revealed as what? It continues forever. And it continues in that place, there's no difference. It's a very interesting quote. What is the true home of the Buddha? It's like, where do you find the Buddha? Where do you find it? Where? And it's like, oh, you find it at the source of that light. And at that light itself. In other words, at the source of your consciousness, he was saying, and that consciousness itself. If we sit with that, it becomes clear to us that means, well, I guess everything, including the person that's looking. So we release all of our habits, our worries, our preoccupations, our goals, our striving. And we slowly begin to untangle ourselves from ourselves. And we have a little more room. I like that line from Shakespeare, my soul hath elbow room. My soul has a little more elbow room. It's like a little room in my heart. And this is a stage of practice that's very important. Learning about ourselves, learning about humans, learning about the mind, learning how these senses, the eye, the ear, the nose, the body, the mind, how all of this works, how it contributes to our understanding and interaction with the world and our Buddha nature. But more and more, when we free up these energies, we can shine that light and we can just manifest and practice Buddha nature. This is what the ancients called realizing yourself in the midst of everyday activity. I prefer this other phrase, that's all beings preaching dharmas. I kind of like that idea. It's this kind of feeling like when I'm in the right mindset, it's like everything's kind of preaching to me. Everything's like, you can feel it. When I clear away the noise and the junk and all the habits, I can listen to the sermon of everything. I can hear teachings from everyone. Even those leaves and the birds and the rocks. Like Koban was saying at the beginning, remember? We make a Buddha with them. And we learn to depend on that light. And this is a deeper stage of practice. Instead of just working with objects of the mind, you start to work with mind itself. Colvin said that we start to become transmitters of actual light, actual life light. He said, when we aren't trying to accomplish our own personality or fulfill our dream of our highest image, instead, we're just trying to reflect the light of the world, which is Buddha mind itself. It's just the very presence of the Buddha. In other words, the very nature of awakening and the awakened energy in us that we all have. So we'll just leave that self hung up on the hook a little while longer, just a little more, so we can realize our real self, our true self, kind of get out of the way and discover the great way itself. So if this is all true, then there's no reason to fight with myself on the cushion, giving my little monkey mind maybe a little more elbow room and let it settle. Let it find its still point. Let silence work on both of you. And just dive under the waves. The waves of our stories. The waves of our habits. And trust that source. I thank you, everyone, for listening, and I want to thank you for your practice. We tend to save some time for Q&A at the end. So if anybody has any questions or comments, we have some time. We can talk about it. We might need some new people to be brave and ask questions, because some of us have been 8 days in silence and are kind of still trying to figure out how to do this, how to work our mouths. Tetsuo, did you have something?
Yes. Question, would you tell me for yourself what is it to take two steps backward and shine the light?
I have scrawled a little marginalia. I have like little things that I can't help but hold on to, little quotes, I guess, all my clinging. And there's a Rilke quote that says, be patient towards all that is unresolved in your heart and try and love the questions themselves. I think that's from his advice to a young writer. Rilke is a really beautiful, spiritual kind of poem in a way. But so for me, the qualities of being kind of turning back on and just like being patient and kind with myself, it's like, for so many years, I think like my practice got like really esoteric and really like weird and really Buddhist. And I like slowly but surely, like I've come back around and I'm just like, I want to know a really advanced Buddhist practice is gratitude, something like, just like gratitude. So that's a really great way for me to shine that light for me. It feels like it shines it all around us in my life a lot more. My partner and I, like we'll pause before meals and just like do that, just express our gratitude. And I don't know, sometimes over like drive-through tacos, it feels a little funny, but it's kind of amazing to be sitting on a curb with the one you love, like eating drive-through tacos, you know, and like expressing gratitude for the entire universe, the seagulls, the all of it, the stinky mess, the whole thing. It's really, really beautiful. So I'm still learning that, though. I'm practicing that. Thank you. Thank you. Other questions, comments? Yes. Hi.
Listening, you talk about the still points under the big wave. And for practice in life, we're like a surfing on the big wave, try to survive. Unless you have a really strong belief under the wave, the still point can save your life. Otherwise, you don't dare to like surrender, like not try to survive. You just get deeper, like keeping or enjoying the still points. That's my reflection when I hear you mention go deeper under the wave, and where you get that strong belief you really can survive without fighting the wave.
Yeah, thank you. And don't confuse my go deeper, go under the waves with any real kind of lifeguarding, life-saving advice. But I think the metaphor landed with enough of you, this feeling of when there's a lot of churning and change in our life, a lot of flowing and moving that is pulling and pushing us that we don't feel always necessarily ready for, or we know where it's going, or we like where it's going, or we think we like where it's going. We don't know, though. So we have to release that completely. So part of really getting in touch with that deeper stillness is trusting the deeper stillness, you know, that it's there, it's available to us, right? Even when we can only feel it a little bit, sometimes I feel like the push and pull in my life, I only have a toe in the water and a toe in the stillness, maybe. But that's okay too, because it's still there. You can still feel connected to it. Mm-hmm. And finding what it looks like in my life, again, just like finding what that backward step is, that deeper stillness in my life is coming to Jikoji. You know, it's surface things like that. You know, it's the practice that I had, my daily practice, right? All of these things contribute, but it's also my friends, you know? It's also, I guess, having tacos on the curb, right? But like all of these things that contribute to that deeper stillness and well-being in my life, right? So sometimes I'm feeling like I'm treading water and I can't feel that stillness, that deeper stillness in my life. Well, sometimes I look to a friend or a Sangha member and say, you know, Getsuke, can you help? You know, I'm feeling a little wobbly right now. Would you be my support, you know? And I always feel like when we're sitting here, we're all like sitting here like these stone statues, right? But, you know, we're all finding our center and finding it again and again and again. And we feel a little wobbly, you know? And there's times where I'm like, I'm really glad, figuratively, there's somebody next to me with a strong practice, figuratively. Sometimes actually next to me with a strong practice, I feel that wobbly. It's okay, because that's real practice, right? It's going to look like that. It's going to have all of those pieces, because I'm a human and I have all those pieces, right? It's a kind of complete thing. So it's like you make a Buddha with each thing. You make a Buddha with the rock. You make a Buddha with the tree. You make a Buddha with this guy, right? You're making a Buddha together. So you talk about it's at that contact point. It's a lot of like, you know, that's where the light is. Right? So we can find that. We can find that in each other. We can help each other. We can be that source of stillness and support for each other. And especially, we don't know what's coming up with our lives coming up, politics and the world, and everything's changing really fast, you know? So it's like, well, what is that light for you? What is that, you know, what are those sources of deep stillness? It's like community, community. So there's a great place for some of your community needs here to receive community, to be seen, but also to participate in community, to serve, to show up, to join one of Jarreau's crews and come garden. Come garden. In silence sometimes. Come up once a month. Make a commitment. Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.